Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
She's been an educator, a community activist, and now an alderwoman, but Sophia King wants to be mayor of Chicago. And if you're among the many people alarmed over violent crimes across the city, she would tell you to listen up. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guest this weekend has been the alderwoman of the 4th Ward since 2017. Sophia King was appointed to that job by Rahm Emanuel when Will Burns left the city council. She's won two elections since then. She was lead sponsor of the effort to raise the city's minimum wage to $15 an hour, and she spearheaded the redevelopment of the old Michael Reese Hospital site. Well, now Sophia King is a mayoral candidate who is focusing a good deal of her campaign at this stage on public safety, which is the topic most voters seem to focus on too right now. We're going to talk about her wide-ranging plan to overhaul the police department and its procedures and practices during this half hour, and we're going to talk about a lot more. We are conducting this interview via Zoom conferencing, and Sophia King, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me, Craig. I appreciate being here this morning.
Well, let's talk about first your safety and justice plan. And we are not talking about a position paper. This is a position magazine, a glossy cover and pages and a 10-point plan. Seriously, why devote so much campaign energy and resources to this document?
No, I think it's important, Craig, but I hope more than just you and my mother read it. I think it is, you know, accumulation of, you know, things I've been thinking of since we've been faced with so much crime. And because I have experience with two police commanders and, you know, kind of live some of these issues every day, I've been able to think about it. But not only that, you know, vet it with former superintendents, with rank and file officers, and with residents who live in the city. But, you know, let me just give you some top lines and then we can delve into the program. I have, you know, a safety and justice plan that, you know, calls on installing new leadership. And, you know, that's not personal. It's just, you know, the police don't feel appreciated. Arrests are down 75%. I just think, you know, the superintendent has got off on the wrong foot here, you know, taking police out of communities, a number of reasons we need new leadership. It also calls on immediately putting more officers into the community. By creating the what we're calling a Chicago Reserve made up of 1,000 retired officers. First, you know, filling some of those police vacancies and mostly the detective vacancies. But other major cities have this. We should do it. Bring back our, you know, retired officers who can right away, you know, get at issues of crime, especially around solving you know, violent crime and shootings in our communities. And so Chicago Reserve is also part of our plan. Again, adding those reserve members to the detective unit first and foremost to solve murders and shootings. And then, you know, we're also talking about, you know, bringing more policing into communities where they belong. taking them out of our neighborhoods and communities was a failed strategy. And again, why we need new leadership. One of the biggest things that we can do right away is move from, you know, three shifts to two shifts. Currently, you know, we have a three shift police department. Moving from three shifts to two shifts immediately, you know, it's not giving officers more time during the week, but it allows them to move from 4 day, 10 hour, two shifts, which could give us up to 50% more boots on the ground right away and in the communities where they're needed and in the places where they're needed the most. As we know, lawsuits and reports have shown us that, you know, our police aren't in the places where they're needed the most at the times when they're needed the most. So we want to make sure that that happens as well. And one of the biggest portions, because police, while they need to be part of our plan, there's a false narrative that, you know, we should, you know, defund police or get rid of the police. I believe, you know, that we can both uplift police and hold them accountable. We need police as part of this plan. They're not the only part of the plan, but we do need them, and we need them at their best. But a big portion of the plan calls for, you know, $200 to $300 million put into violence intervention programs. And so we need to scale up programs where we have, you know, matrix and metrics that show us that putting money into intervention can help with gun violence. Specifically, we're saying to, you know, give incentives for young, mostly Black and Brown men to come into the formal economy with, you know, a stipend, a weekly stipend, that's way more than they would make on the streets. And then ask them to, part of that plan would be that they would have to go to, you know, job training, to trauma-informed care. It would provide wraparound services for their family. And if we do this right, we can put a dent in violence intervention or gun violence and not be back here in 10 to 20 years. So that's part of our plan as well. We also know that, you know, over 50% of calls to 911 are for nonviolent offenses, things like mental health insecurities, homelessness, and other issues around poverty. We've got pilot programs which I and a couple of my colleagues helped to bring to bear that are in a couple of police districts right now, but they're on a very small scale. We need to move those up, to scale those up as well, because like I said, over 50% of calls to 911 are for these types of offenses. And so police aren't trained to do those, nor should they be doing those. We need to bring in mental health clinicians, folks who are trained in homeless issues to solve some of those, to, you know, be there for some of those issues as well. And then embracing technology. You know, we're living in this digital age. And by the way, you know, we should be the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. That's something I'd like to talk about as well. But we need to embrace technology. I talk about drones. You know, I think people have images of drones fighting in wars and things of that nature. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we can use that technology, that modern technology, to have, you know, drones show up kind of as first responders, or to see kind of be a first look at what's on the scene, or, you know, not putting residents or officers in harm's way. We can have, you know, drones follow people, take a picture of an offender, and so that we can identify them. They can also identify guns and other types of things. They're cheaper than helicopters. So you could have, you know, five or so in every district and spend less than $2 million. So it's not cost prohibitive, and it's something that we should use, and we need to embrace the technology that we have. And a couple of the other things, which are, you know, not smaller, obviously committing to real criminal justice reform, You know, let's fire the Proud Boy, not the officer who's ahead of, you know, the consent decree. We need to really commit to fully implementing this federal consent decree. And then we need to clean up these vacant lots. You know, it's a shame, and that's a low hanging fruit in all of our communities across the city. You know, we shouldn't have city lots that are not maintained. And those also are a small part of the crime that we see, and studies do show that you know, having clean lots can reduce rates of crime, and individuals know that anecdotally, that, you know, all of the vacant lots just add to the crime that we see and have in our communities. So those are some of the highlights. And like you said, there are a number of things, but we thought long and hard, you know, about these points which we feel can immediately address the violent crime that we see, which is, you know, pretty much number one, two, and three priority in the city, according to residents that I've spoken to.
Well, let's dig a little deeper into a couple of those. That 1,000 member reserve unit, obviously, you know where the pool is for that among the retired officers. But let's face it, in getting more people onto the street, more people into the force, I mean, you want to hire another 60 or fill 1,600 police vacancies.
Sure.
The city has, presumably, the officials have been trying to do that.
Sure.
Up to this point, and it's been difficult. And
right.
What could change that would bring more people in to take the test, bring a diverse group of people in to take the test, and get them to want to be police officers?
Yeah. So the Chicago Reserve would deal with that, would mitigate that issue immediately, right? We've got to get, you know, more people, more officers in the communities where they're needed right away. And that's why I'm saying we're not going to fill 1,600 vacancies right away. That's not happening. We're losing officers at a rate faster than we can bring them in. And so attrition is way outpacing how we can bring officers in. So the Chicago Reserve, we can start to fill those officers with retired officers who, by the way, do want to come out, some come back. Some of them are aged out. Some of them just don't like, you know, the leadership that's there. They don't feel appreciated. So right away, we can use those to fill during surge times, during the summer. Like I said, detectives, we need a lot more detectives working on the force. We've got one of the lowest clearance rates in the country. And by clearance rates, I mean, you know, the average amount of crimes that we solve. And they're really, really low. And in Black and Brown communities, they're even lower. So we need detectives who are able to solve these crimes so that it mitigates, or so that other crimes, people don't feel like, you know, they're in the wild, wild west. I mean, you have a 95% chance to get away with murder, literally, in the city of Chicago. And so what that does is creates, other crimes and opportunities because people think that they're not getting caught. And so the inclusion of a Chicago Reserve or 1,000 retired officers would answer that. Another thing that we've talked about is incentives to bring officers and teachers back, because we're losing teachers. That attrition rate is high as well. And, you know, Craig, I think they're two professions where we throw everything at them that we've been unable to solve at their feet, and that is police and teachers. So we need to incentivize them to stay here. In our plan, it calls for giving them both incentives to live and work in the communities that they serve by, you know, giving them dollar lots in the city, low interest rate loan or no interest rate loans backed by bonds that the city can back, so that they know that we appreciate them. We called them essential workers at one point, and now everybody's already forgotten, but we need those. And so not only can we incentivize them to come, you know, into the city and stay in the city, but they can also live and work in the communities that they work in. So I think it's a win-win, and we need to get on that idea right away. These are things, you know, we can do right away to stop the exodus that we see of these essential workers leaving our city, but especially our police and our teachers are leaving in droves, and we need to stop that. So that's why, again, the incentives are important, but also the reserve is important as well. And like I said, New York has 4,000 officers in a reserve, or retired officers that come back. Other big cities have it. We should have it as well.
One quick question. Do you have to change the laws to allow people who, as you point out, some of whom have aged out, to be back on the force?
No, it's a win-win. Obviously, they wouldn't come back as full-time officers. They already have a pension, so we don't have to pay for their medical benefits and things of that nature. So they would come back in a part-time capacity. But again, it would help us solve crimes. It would help us in surge areas, you know, like on the lakefront, if we needed them during festivals, so that we could free up other full-time officers to be in the places that they need to be. And, you know, again, since we're not going to be able to fill 1,600 officers that we've already budgeted for, it will be cheaper to do that as well. And so we should still seek to employ and bring in full-time officers. But this is, I think it's not even a stopgap. Like I said, other big cities use it all the time. I think if we ever get to a place where we have the appropriate number of full-time officers, we should still have the 1,000 reserve officers to serve as detectives, but also during surge times when we need them and when crime may be higher, or when we have festivals or social unrest or what have you, to be on the ready.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. My guest is 4th Ward Alderwoman Sophia King, who is one of the candidates challenging Mayor Lori Lightfoot's reelection bid. Another area in public safety I want to touch on before we go on to some other things is this idea of making sure that there are police where they are needed, when they are needed, which sounds like redeploying, and putting police in more high crime areas. But I know you've been on the city council long enough to know what happens when you suggest moving police from one part of the city to the other. Older people in areas that are safer go crazy. So how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we have to lead with real programs and not politics. So that's part of it. And I think having a discussion about it first and foremost is, part of the plan. I think most of my colleagues don't have, you know, the data, and it's kind of all secret and nobody shares. And so it's hard to make decisions based on that. However, our plan doesn't leave any community without officers. Like I said, if we can go from three shifts to two shifts, we can put up to 50% of more officers in the communities where they're needed. And that means all of the communities all over the city. Again, you know, we're going from 4 days to 3 days, which again allows officers the much needed time and rest that they deserve to have. They're still working 40-hour weeks. But for instance, Craig, let's just say for three shifts, one district has 90 officers. If you go to two shifts, you have 90 officers, so you got 30 each shift. That adds up to 90, 30, 60, 90. And then if you go to two shifts, you've got 45 for each shift. So you've got 50% more officers available. They're getting the time and the rest that they need. We do this in the 5th Police District right now. And so whether this is long-term or short-term, we can do this immediately. And then all communities will have enough officers. And then again, if we do the 1,000 officers in our reserve, bringing back part-time retired officers who can deal with the crimes, free up more opportunity to have other officers come in, we can immediately address crime and no community will go unserved. But we certainly need to look at the equitable distribution, I think, which is also making increasing crime in all of our neighborhoods. So getting at making sure officers are in the right places at the right time helps all of our communities. It helps it not to spread all over the city if we address the crimes in the communities where they're starting from.
Okay. You know, some more broad issues. Leadership is an issue in any mayoral race. So how would you describe your leadership style?
Yeah, I've been able to lead with collaboration and not, confrontation. I think, that's one of the biggest challenges of this administration is, not being able to bring people together. And I think that's something that I've been able to do, as chair of the Progressive Caucus, which has Black, Brown, and white people as members. We've been able to do a number of things together. I've also shown with the former Michael Reese site and the new Bronzeville Lakefront how I can bring people together. So we need someone who can, again, uplift police and hold them accountable. We need somebody who understands that we can, build and revitalize downtown and build our communities. We need somebody who understands we can have safety, and justice. And I think that collaborative approach that I bring is something that the city really needs right now. We need to be working with the state, with the county, with the governor, with the Cook County board president, with the state's attorney, with the attorney general, with the chief judge. And we're at odds with all of those folks right now, but all of those should be part of our plan. We need somebody who knows how to bring people together and build those relationships so that we can, face these challenges that aren't easy, but face them together. I think that is something that, I can bring to the table. I also think that I can speak to all of Chicago and still bring the wildly disenfranchised Black and Brown communities much relief and resources. My ward, Craig, goes from now, Hyde Park to downtown to Jackson, with Bronzeville, in the middle. And so I have a very diverse ward. I have, pretty much all of the amenities, Grant Park, Northerly Island, Soldier Field, Museum Campus, four times as much lakefront. So, I'm used to managing that diversity. And right now, we need somebody who understands that, again, we've got to be able to build downtown. Most of a lot of our constituents work downtown. We need a vibrant downtown, but we also need to build our communities. So the power of and is very important. And that's something that our campaign and my mayoral leadership will bring.
We have talked with Mayor Lightfoot and raised the issue about collaboration or lack of it, she has been saying, but look at what we've been able to do. Look at, she said, our budget got done and with the votes needed, the Invest Southwest is getting done. She says she is collaborating and she just doesn't feel the need to have 50 votes on everything. but enough votes.
Yeah, So, you know, what I would say is that, you know, it would be naive and disingenuous of me to say that we haven't been in hard times with social unrest, with COVID. It's been very challenging. I think the issue is that if we had been more collaborative, we could get through a period in time that has been, you know, really unsteady for everybody a lot better. So all of those things that she's talking about, some of those are as a result, like Invest Southwest, you know, she's used a number of developments in my community, and those aren't things that she started or nurtured. And so it's disingenuous of her to talk about those. In fact, her predecessor started a number of those, so he could claim them as well. But so that's a bit disingenuous. I like the idea. We certainly need to invest in the South and the West Side. And when you talk about the budget, you know, those are things, you know, that we pushed her to, at least the last budget. And speaking of that, you know, we gave her $85 million to spend on violence intervention this year, and she spent less than $5 million. And so, you know, not only are, you know, is there tension between, you know, her and the teachers, her and police, her and the business community, you know, we haven't been able to get money out the door. And I think that's because, you know, a lot of leadership in the administration has left. My colleagues are speaking with their feet. So yes, things have gotten done. But if we had been together as a city, as a, you know, using our state resources and county resources and working together with those governmental counterparts, we could have gotten a lot more done.
We have very little time left, Bajit, but a purely political question, and that is, with a wide field of candidates like there is going into February, it's not going to take as many votes to win or make the expected runoff as it might have in other circumstances. Given Chicago's history of racial politics, is it a handicap to have so many candidates in the race and African-American candidates in this race?
Yeah, It's a good question. We're going to seek to get votes all over the city. I think we don't have to go back so far. In the last race in 2019, we had 14 candidates. I believe 10 of those were African-American. Out of the top six, four were African-American and four were women. We're going to seek to get votes all over the city. I think, yeah, I'm the only other woman in this race. The electorate still wants, in spite of the incumbent, wants a woman. And that's, Craig, in the Black community, in the Latino community, and in the African-American or in the white community. The polls are suggesting that they want a woman to continue to lead the city of Chicago. And as the only other woman in the race, I will be seeking votes all over the city. And again, bringing the power of Anne, we can have safety and justice. We can uplift our police and we can hold them accountable. We can build downtown and build our communities. You know, we can have, you know, build our education and build the kids who want to go to college as well as in the trades. We don't have to choose. I think we've been given that false narrative, but we are going to bring the power of and. We've got a plan. I'm also the only one with, experience. We don't need to be flying this plane and building at the same time again. We've made that mistake and we don't need to do that again. And so with my leadership of collaboration my experience, I think we will have a winning message, which I know in our safety plan is starting to resonate with people. And I encourage folks to go to sophiaforchicago.com if they want to learn more about our campaign, and please join us. And Craig, thank you so much for having me here today. I've really enjoyed our time.
Well, thank you, as have I. That is Alderwoman Sophia King, candidate for mayor of Chicago. Thank you for spending the half hour with us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, 105.9 WBBM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.